ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। O my Lord, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Thus, thus the speaker is first offering her humble obeisances before going any further, offering their humble obeisances to Vasudev, who is Krishna, the all-pervading Lord, is also a person. Very, very difficult for anyone to understand, and this is, practically speaking, the prime reason why the hearing of the Bhagavatam must be done from a devotee, because otherwise one cannot, by one's own power, understand that the Supreme Lord is simply a person. Not simply a person, but he is a person. People who study Bhagavatam, even if they're the greatest of scholars, because they are not devotees, or if they are not devotees, they will come to the wrong conclusion and they will more or less be forced to misunderstand the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam's purpose is to bring us into, to open up our loving relationship with Krishna. But if one does not understand that Krishna is a person, what is the question of having a loving relationship? How could we have a loving relationship with the impersonal, especially since we would be considering ourselves the same as the impersonal? What is the question of a loving relationship? Even though impersonalists may even worship the deity or chant Krishna's names, but there is no question of love being involved, because everything is fortuitous. Everything that they do is purposeful to achieve something else. This is called doubleness of mind. If the holy names are chanted, it is not with love. If the deity is worshipped, it's not with love. It's to gain something. They want to gain what? They want to gain the loss of their individuality and merge. So there's no question of doing it in an unmotivated fashion. There is, I'm doing this for something else. But bhakti is so different. The doing it is the goal, because the doing it is for Krishna's pleasure. And there is no other purpose or motivation for an act. So that is so different, and it's so incomprehensible, because it's based on love, devotion, bhakti. That's why when we use the word seva or bhaja, when we translate it as worship, we don't exactly really mean worship. We mean loving service. And that loving service means that the purpose of the act is simply for the pleasure of the beloved. So without hearing from the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, from Srila Prabhupada or a Vaishnava, then there is no question of actually coming to the right conclusion. Because with one's materialistic mind, one will come to an impersonal conclusion. And they'll see the Bhagavatam rather than the end, or the deity rather than an end, see it as a means. And actually we know the Bhagavatam is puranarko. It is the sun of Krishna's presence. It is Krishna himself that has arisen in Kali Yuga. So vastly different, the realization and the practices of the devotees from the non-devotees. Vastly different, day and night. Even if the non-devotees are transcendentalists, actually the impersonalists, they are actually, although they are transcendentalists, they are not transcendentalists, actually they're materialists. Because they have selfish motivation. And there is envy still within their heart. So therefore they are not allowed to offer something to Krishna with devotion. So here, the second canto is opened in such an auspicious way by offering of obeisances to the all-pervading personality of Godhead, who is known as Vasudev, who is the son of Vasudev. Then, in the first verse, that was the invocation, the first verse, Sukadev Goswami speaks. For the first time, at the end of Canto 1, Sukadev Goswami came. He appeared on the scene just at the right time, having been sent by Krishna himself to help, because Krishna was always protecting Maharaj Prickett. So here, this most wonderful protection, protecting his eternal life, was given by Krishna, and that came in the form of Sukadev Goswami. So the verse, the first verse is Variyan Ishtaprashte Prajna. Variyan means is glorious. And Esha, this question, Prashna, this question you have asked is glorious. So this question, what was the question? The question is, what is my duty now? I am soon to die within 7 days. How should I spend my time? What should I do? What is the duty of everyone, but especially one about to die? Because it is a very fearful situation, knowing that one is going to die. So therefore most people, as we will hear, just turn their backs on reality or close their eyes to reality. Variyan esha te prajna krita lokahitam nripa atmavit samita pumsam shotavya dishu yatpara. Sukadev Goswami said, my dear king, your question, it is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. Your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. Because the question evokes the great devotee Sukadev to speak about Krishna, because that was what actually Prickett Maharaj wanted to hear about. And that is beneficial to all kinds of people. Not only beneficial, but very beneficial. Lokahitam means it is good for the people. Every kind of person, regardless of their position, whether they are transcendentalists to materialists to animals, even by hearing even the name of Krishna being vibrated, it is so beneficial for them eternally, because the answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing. Everything else is really truly rejected, and it is approved, and this is the path, this path of hearing is approved by all transcendentalists. Now, Srila Prabhupada lectured many, many times on this first verse, and the second verse, and the third verse, all the verses that we'll speak about today. And I'm going to read from some of his lectures. Here is from a lecture on this first verse. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sukadev Goswami, the accepted spiritual master of King Pricket, is replying to his inquiry. What is the duty of a person who is going to die? Pricket Maharaj was going to die within 7 days. He was cursed by a Brahmin boy to die within 7 days. The reason is that the king was in the forest, engaged in hunting. And when he became tired, he went to the cottage of a sage and asked him for water. But the sage was absorbed in meditation and could not hear him. So Pricket Maharaj, being thirsty, became angry, and there was a dead snake. So he, out of negligence, he took the dead snake and wrapped it over the neck of the meditating sage. This news was spread, and his son, 12 years old only, he heard that his father was insulted. So immediately he cursed that this snake would bite him within 7 days. So this news was brought. Although the father, after his meditation was over, he was very, very sorry. Very sorry that such a great king has been cursed. So he was very, very sorry. But what can be done? The Brahmin's boy curse must be effective. In those days, Brahmanas, even by caste, were very, very strong in spiritual strength. So when Pricket Maharaj was informed that he was to die within 7 days, he accepted the curse. Yes, I was wrong to insult the sage. Otherwise, he could counteract. He was also very powerful, but he did not do so. So this is the history. Immediately, Pricket Maharaj left his kingdom, family, children, and went to the bank of the Ganges and sat down there, being prepared for the coming imminent death within 7 days. So, because he was the emperor of the world and he was going to die, this news was spread. And all big, big men, great, saintly persons, even demigods, they also came to see him. And he was asking everyone, what is my duty? So at that time, Sukadev Goswami also arrived there. Sukadev Goswami was a young boy, but Paramahansa. So he was received in that big assembly as the greatest of personalities, the great personality of knowledge. Even his father Vyasadeva was present, so everyone stood up. His father also stood up to receive him. He was such a great personality. And then he was given a nice seat, as is the custom. So he could give advice to Maharaj Pricket, what is my duty? But Maharaj Pricket was from the very beginning of his life a devotee himself, a devotee of Lord Krishna. And he inquired whether I shall devote, absorb my mind with Krishna consciousness at the end of my life. Because he was a devotee of Krishna, he thought like that. Many people gathered. They gave different advice. Maharaj, you do this at the time of death. Do that, do this. So there were very many big, big persons. He was perplexed. But he was a devotee of Krishna from the very beginning of his life, and he thus inquired whether it is better to absorb the mind in Krishna consciousness. That was his question. So in answer to this question, Sukadev Goswami replied, Varyameshate Prashna. My dear king, Varyameshate Prashna Krito Lokahitam Nripa. Nripa. The king. My dear king, your inquiry is very glorified. Varyan esha te prasna krito lokahitam. Because on account of this question, whatever I shall reply, means he knew the reply is this Srimad Bhagavatam. The question was about Krishna, and the reply is Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses. And each and every verse is so important that if a serious student studies each and every verse will take at least 1 month to understand. And there are 18,000 verses. So for serious study of Srimad Bhagavatam, it will take 18,000 months. So 18,000 months, meaning how many years? 1,500 years. It is such an important book, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada gave that lecture in Melbourne in 1974. So, the direct answer to this question of what should I hear? Well, he was really asking, because there were so many different opinions, and he wanted to hear about Krishna. Is this proper? I want to hear about Krishna. Is that what I should be doing? So Sukadeva Goswami was so happy to hear this question. So this question is answered in the Bhagavatam, the entirety of the Bhagavatam, but also it is answered in a primary way in the first two chapters and the beginning of the third chapter of the second canto. So for the next two chapters and the beginning of the third second canto, we're going to hear the answer to this. And Sukadeva is going to speak it in a progressive way, in a gradual way, and we'll hear that. Now, this is approved. Here, the question is approved, and the subject matter, the question is about what is the proper subject matter for hearing, that this is approved by all transcendentalists. So, on the other hand, what is the alternative? Because we see in this world, people generally do not spend their time and their life hearing about Krishna. Contrarily, it's the last thing on most people's mind to hear about Krishna. So what do they hear about? What do they do? Because the purpose of hearing is to absorb our mind in something. The hearing is like a funnel for the mind. This is the way that the mind becomes absorbed in something. So people don't hear about Krishna. What do they do? And is it good? Is it bad? What is the fault? So in verses 2-5, Jiva Goswami says that these describe, ultimately, in the first four verses of the fourth verse, it describes what one should not do, what the common materialistic people do. And in the fifth verse, it describes the proper necessity of hearing about Krishna and his activities. So these verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all very important. So the second verse is Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nrinam Santi Sahasrasa Apasyatam Matpratatvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind, that's apashyatam. Pashya means seeing, apashyatam. They are blind to atma tattva, blind to spiritual knowledge. Being blind to knowledge of the ultimate truth, they have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. They hear about so many things. Nidraya riyate naktam. Vyavayena tavavaya Diva chate hayarajan kutumba branenava. The lifetime, this is the activities. They have so many subject matters for hearing because they are blind to spiritual life, thinking that they are going to live forever, not thinking that they are eternal souls, having no realization of this fact, having no inclination of this, having no desire to even know what is the purpose of life. What do they do? The lifetime, nidra haya riyate naktam, the lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. So what do people do? Just sleeping and eating and dealing with one's family and one's sex life and trying to make money because the eyes are closed, blinded. What kind of an animal is that? Yes, one of the 8 million. It's a person. It's impersonal. I don't believe it's impersonal. No, he's
hiding in the bush.
No, he's. I know what he's saying too. He's saying who? Who is Krishna? That's who. If he's an owl, he should open his eyes, and then he would know who. We would even let him in. If he would stop saying "woo woo woo," yeah, that's what I'm saying. Krishna. It sounds like his ears are closed too, as well as his eyes are closed. Because Krishna, that's who. He didn't hear me. Because that's what I'm saying. His eyes are closed. He's impersonal. He's formless. He has no senses. How hearing, whatever one hears, when mind naturally becomes absorbed in that. Bucky, is he on your property? Then if he is, he's your responsibility.
It's on their property.
Oh, okay. Here's what Prabhupada says about these two verses in a lecture. Because this the second verse, griheshu grihamedinam. There are two words. Griha means house, simply. And grihasta is an ashram. It means that one who lives in that house is taking spiritual life of the utmost importance. And and the opposite of that is a griha medhi. Medhi means envious. This is the essence. Okay, close the door.
He is not being deprived of that.
No, the window is open still. Don't worry. So the contrast is always given between the griha medhi, the envious householder, and the grihasta, the devotee who is a householder. So here is the description of the mentality and the mood of a griha medhi, whose the essence of his life is sense gratification, and because that doesn't bring satisfaction to the heart, therefore so much envy comes in, because one is thinking that someone has something that I don't have, and that thing, if I had it, I would become happy. Here's what Prabhupada says. So that is the difference between grihamedi and grihasta. Grihamedi means they simply want to decorate their apartment and children and wife. That is the end of life. That is all. They have no other business. Apashyaitam, blind of the value of life. Whereas the grihasta, he is not blind about the value of his life. He is simply looking forward how to become successful, Krishna consciousness. So those who are blind to the point of self-realization, such householders, they have got many subjects of hearing in the newspapers. Shotavya dini rajendra nrinam shanti sahasraha. Sahasras means thousands of subject matters. For whom? Griheshu grihamedinam. Such householders who make their aim of life to decorate the apartment, that's all. They work whole day and night. They have good dress, good apartment, that's all. They think this is success. These things were before also, because this was spoken thousands and thousands of years ago, and these type of people are being criticized. So Prabhupada is saying, these kind of people, this mentality existed before as well. So this is being pointed out. Griheshu griyamedinam. Now, what is their mode of life? That is explained. Nidrahaya riyate naktam vyavayena chavavaya. All night they are wasting their duration of life, either by sleeping or by sex life. That's all. That is their business. All night. Then at daytime, what is their business? At daytime, diva chate haya rajan kutumba buranena va. And daytime, they're always busy. Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? Diva chate. Artha means money. Ihaya, hankering after money. Then they are getting money. They have money. Why should they waste their time? As soon as there is money, there is immediately program how to spend it for family. Thousands of dollars. Kutumba baranena va. Kutumba means family, relatives. They will spend thousands of dollars for family and relatives. But if you ask some dollars for Krishna consciousness, they are not interested. Nidraya riyate naktam. So their life means day and night. So this is the program of their life. At night, those either sleeping or going to the nightclub or dancing club, sex life, that's all. Not that these things are new. These things are old. In previous days, people were accustomed to all these things also. Now they are thinking, modern days. What do you mean by modern days? Nothing has changed. Putting the old wine in a new bottle, that's all. These practices are still going on. So, setting aside that there are any problems in life, that there is any purpose to life, people take shelter basically of closing their eyes that life has another purpose, to even inquire about life's purpose. So, in purport to text 3, Prabhupada, near the end of that purport, Prabhupada says, the commies, because one can say, well, that is, they're having their pleasure, so what is the problem? What is the fault in it? The commies are more or less devoid of atma-tattva knowledge, and as such, their life is spent without spiritual profit. The human life is not meant for hard labor for economic development, nor is it meant for sex indulgence like the dogs or the hogs. It is specifically meant for making a solution to the problems of material life and the miseries thereof. So no one considers that. That that's what life is for. How to solve the real problems of birth, death, old age, disease. No one considers that that's an alternative. So, the commies waste their valuable human life by sleeping and sex indulgence at night, and by laboring hard in the daytime to accumulate wealth. And after doing so, they try to improve the standard of materialistic life. The materialistic way of life is described here in a nutshell, and how foolishly men waste the boon of human life is described as follows. Text 4.
Dehipatya kalatradishu atma sanyasa satsvapi tesham pramata nidanam pashanapi na pashyati.
Persons devoid of atma tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. Now, when reading this verse and purport, I just remembered how Prabhupada stressed book distribution. That means putting people who have no atma tattva, basically it means putting people who have no consciousness of the eternality, that they are eternal souls, no questioning about it, no hint about it. Putting them in touch with very powerful spiritual knowledge. Or, on the other hand, taking people who are inquisitive. And there are so many people like that too, who are questioning as to the purpose of life. But they look here, they look there. One philosopher says one thing, one philosopher says another. One book says one thing. There are so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books. So people, generally, they either bounce from one to the next, or they become bewildered. But just imagine someone who has not contacted the straightforward potency of Krishna consciousness in Srila Prabhupada. Imagine if they were somehow or another put in touch with the Srimad Bhagavatam, they had that in their hand and they opened it up and started reading over here. A person who has a 9-to-5 job, he's not satisfied, he or she is not satisfied really, but they don't know anything else. They have problems with this person, they're competing with that person, they're getting older. They see that their parents have been sick, they're frightened about this, but it's not exactly on the conscious level. But everyone is more or less aware of it, but no one thinks about how miserable and forlorn they are. Now just imagine if they read that verse about their sufficient experience and how they depend when there's trouble, they call for their relatives and they feel secure when they're in a difficult situation. If they have their wife or husband or children to hug. Imagine reading this. Here is the purport to the fourth verse. This material world is called the world of death. Just right off. People are trying to become happy here. And this is the attempt. And everyone is forgetting the fact that they're going to die. And the very nature of the material world, it is called the world of death. Every living being, beginning from Brahma, whose duration of life is some thousands of millions of years, down to the germs who live for a few seconds only, is struggling for existence. Therefore, this life is a sort of fight with material nature, which imposes death upon all. In other words, material nature always wins. In the human form of life, a living being is competent enough to come to an understanding of this great struggle for existence. But what stops the human being from doing that? From waking up and becoming aware of what's really going on, what stops them? But being too attached to family members, society, country, he wants to win over the invincible material nature by the aid of bodily strength, children, wife, relatives, etc. Although he is sufficiently experienced in the matter by dint of past experience, and previous examples of his deceased predecessors, he does not see that the so-called fighting soldiers, like the children, relatives, society members, and countrymen, are all fallible in the great struggle. One should examine the fact that his father or his father's father has already died, and that he himself is therefore also sure to die. And similarly, his children, who are the would-be fathers of their children, will also die in due course. How quickly time moves on. How quickly it moves on. At one point, we were with our fathers and thinking him our shelter and our mothers our shelter, and we were children frolicking. And then so quickly, like a flash, we have our own children, and just in the same mood that our parents were dealing with us, we are dealing with them. We have stepped one step closer in the line of death. And no one remembers this, although everyone, pashana napashyati, means though everyone has the experience to have this in the forefront of their consciousness, due to this absorption in the family life, in the sense gratification, that no one realizes what a dangerous situation they're in. That no one will survive in this struggle with material nature. It's cut. It's concluded. This is the conclusion. No one's going to survive. Now what are you going to do about it? Should we just keep absorbed, making believe it's not going to happen? Holding our wife's hand, feeding our dog, feeding our pet parakeet and fish, and having a pet rock, and collecting this and collecting that. We should wake up to this fact that the history of human society definitely proves it. Yet the foolish people still suggest that in the future they will be able to live perpetually with the help of material science. This poor fund of knowledge exhibited by human society is certainly misleading. And it is all due to ignoring the constitution of the living soul. So we can imagine a person reading this for the first time, that there's a living soul, everyone's going to die, but there's a living soul? What does that mean? What to speak of? Who is that Brahma who lives for thousands and millions of years? But what does this mean? That we're ignoring the constitution of the living soul. This material world exists only as a dream due to our attachment to it. It means we are causing the material world's existence, our material illusory world, due to our attachment and desire, intense desire to squeeze enjoyment out of it. Otherwise, the living soul is always different from the material nature. The great ocean of material nature is tossing with the waves of time. And the so-called living conditions are something like foaming bubbles which appear before us as the bodily self, wife, children, society, countrymen. Due to a lack of knowledge of self, we become victimized by the force of ignorance and thus spoil the valuable energy of human life in a vain search after permanent living conditions which are impossible in this material world. Comparing it to the foam, material life is compared herein to the foam on the ocean. It comes, when the waves come in, so much foam is formed, and each wave has its turn to roll in and be the wave that is rolling in. And then there is some bubbles that are formed, some foam, and they all last for some time, comparing our situation to that. And yet we are hoping against hope that we are going to find some permanent settlement here, which is impossible. Our friends, relatives, and so-called wives and children are not only fallible, but also bewildered by the outward glamour of material existence. What an accurate statement of the material situation. As such, they cannot save us. Still, we think we are safe within the orbit of family, society, or country. The whole materialistic advancement of human civilization is like the decoration of a dead body. Everyone is a dead body, flapping only for a few days. And yet all the energy of human life is being wasted in the decoration of this dead body, just adding paraphernalia into something that is just dead but flapping for a few remaining moments. How graphic, how cutting. And we're wasting our energy just decorating this and trying to make a permanent solution situation where it is impossible. Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out the duty of the human being after showing the actual position of bewildered human activities. Persons who are devoid of the knowledge of Atma Tattva are misguided, but those who are devotees of the Lord and have perfect realization of transcendental knowledge are not bewildered. So what, pray tell, if we shouldn't be absorbed in decorating our dead bodies and sleeping and eating and mating and defending and gathering money to do that, what should we do? What should we hear about? Because the people who are absorbed in these materialistic things, they have so many topics. Bahu shaka tvanantascha, unending material topics that interest them. And one leads to the next, to the next, to the next. Until just the day it comes unexpectedly that we're dying. And then where has it come? What have we gained? So now in text 5, which is a very... Remember that Maharaj Prickett has asked this question and he's dying. And he knows it. So what an expert teacher Sukadeva Goswami is, because he's encouraging him, saying, your question is glorious. What to speak of? Because you want to hear about Krishna, and we haven't even spoken about Krishna yet, but just that you're asking about this is glorious, because you're so far different from these kind of people that we have just described, who are just with their eyes closed, they're interested in decorating their dead bodies as if their body is going to live, and being absorbed in such illusion, imagining this and imagining that, and making plans for tomorrow, and eating and drinking, as if tomorrow will never come, and tomorrow means death. So now, for the positive side, which is very important, O descendant of Bharata, Tasmad, therefore, considering that this is reality about material life, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. Shotavya kirtatavyascha smartavyascheitstate bhayam. This word of cheitstate bhayam is very interesting. It's three words together. Itstata means one who desires, and abhayam is freedom from fear. So if one actually desires freedom from fear, because again, look, contrast these two kinds of people. There is Maharaj Prickett, who is going to die, and he's asking, now what should I do, knowing that I'm going to die? And then there's these Grihamedis, who don't want to ask the question, who don't want to think they're going to die, who are taking shelter of illusion to protect them from death. taking shelter of family members, of having the mind absorbed in so much busyness so that they don't have to think about this fact that I'm going to die. And that's their solution to the fearfulness of death. Because when one thinks about death, that no, you don't know what's going to happen, and it's so painful, and everyone's attached to their existence as a person, and then it's finished. Terrifying. And all those stories we hear about going to hell and things like that, and the punishments that you get. Terrifying. You don't know. And this, because this is all we know, and we don't know what's beyond that door. So one who it's to toe abayam, who wants to become free, who desires, and who truly doesn't desire to become free from this great fear of death. Even the people who are in the deepest delusion and taking shelter of Maya, that's really what's on their mind too, from the older ones to the younger ones. And if that wasn't so, why is there so much concern always about hospitals and healthcare, and there's so many chemist shops and drug stores and this and that? Because people are really afraid of this, and this is in the best of times. What to speak of when there's disasters, wars and famines and disease and revolutions. People become so terrified. It's even terrifying when there's a thunderstorm and loud thunder and lightning comes. It shakes you to the core of your heart. So people are actually afraid of this. So someone who is actually desiring freedom from this kind of fear, what should he do? He must hear about Shotavya, Kirtatavyas, glorify, and Smartavyas, remember, because if you hear and chant about the Lord, you will remember Him. And if you don't hear and chant about Him, you won't remember Him, no matter how much you try, practically speaking. Because He is Bhagavan, there's so much to hear about. Because He's a person, and He has pastimes, and He has opulence, and He has wealth, and He has renunciation, and strength, and fame, and beauty, and knowledge. There are so many wonderful things to hear about. And don't worry that if you spend your time hearing about Him and not paying attention to science, that you won't become free. No, Bhagavan Ishwaro. He is the Ishwar. He is the controller of even death. And He is Hari. Hari means He who takes away. So He will take away that fear of death. Because, practically speaking, He will take away death. Even in this body, one can actually attain this state. One can actually be fully realized and living with Krishna, even within this material body. This is, Jiva Goswami describes this in Priti Sandarbha. Or like Dhruva Maharaj. Who remembers how Dhruva Maharaj departed from this world? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true. But what did he do with death? What was his specific relationship with? He stepped on death's head. What does that mean? That means that death was a stepping stone for his going back to the spiritual world. Rather than being him afraid of death, it was just viewed as a stepping stone to facilitate his eternal life in the spiritual world. So very wonderful. The highest perfection, because remember again, Maharaj Prickett, 7 days and the hourglass, the sand is moving through the hourglass. Sukadeva Goswami is telling him directly what the highest perfection is. In text 6, the highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, no matter what path you're going to take. Because one person, one sage is saying one thing, and another sage, there are jnanis, there are yogis. The yogis say you practice yoga and you get these mystic perfections. The jnanis say you discriminate between matter and spirit and act on that level. And the karmis say what you have to do, and the followers of Purvamamamsa philosophy, Jaimini Rishi, you don't do anything other than discharge your occupational duty according to the Vedas. So there are always different opinions. But what is the perfection of all these? The highest perfection of human life, either achieved by complete knowledge, the jnanis of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, the yogis, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, the karmis. What is the perfection of all those is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of one's life. So remember, he's telling him, to hear and chant. So this isn't only for the neophytes, but O King Prickett, mainly the topmost transcendentalists, those who are on the topmost position, who are above the regulative principles and restrictions, they take great pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. This is the actual sustenance of their lives. They get so much energy from it, like Sukadev and Maharaj Prickett, both being such powerful transcendentalists, they were fed by this vital fluid of the hearing and the chanting of Krishna's name, so that they were not even disturbed. Sukadev spoke continuously for the 7 days, and Prickett Maharaj didn't sleep, nor eat, nor drink. He breathed. But he was maintained by the nectar being fed to him through his ears of Krishna Katha. He will describe this in many places, that he's not even inconvenienced by it. Great pleasure comes, rather, and it's not torture, rather great pleasure comes when one is a topmost transcendentalist, as both Prickett and Sukadev were. So I would like to just read something that Prabhupada, two little other segments, one that Prabhupada said about that Dehe Patya Kala Tre Deshu verse. And then another little segment. Then we'll just read this final one over here. Because one may think that how much could one practically speaking hear about God? Okay, maybe we could hear for 7 days, but it's have a long life. Well, how much is there to actually hear about Him and understand about Him? Well, this is what Prabhupada explains in that. So, if you want to get yourself free from fearfulness, it's chitobhayam, then Sukadeva Goswami recommends that you have to chant, and you have to hear, and you have to remember about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the conclusion. It's actually the wonderful thing that if we do, the more we chant and the more we hear, the more the mind is actually focused on Krishna, on the thoughts of Krishna, then the result of that is that we do lose our fearfulness. We lose our anxiety. Actually, by that contact with the spiritual energy, everything becomes very secure, and we find ourselves miraculously in Krishna's hands. So that is the conclusion. Don't try to hear so many nonsense things. Vyavyasatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Just concentrate. If you want to hear about God, there are volumes of literature. One political leader, perhaps you have heard his name. His name was Madan Mohan Malabhya in India. He came to see our Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he inquired, "What are your activities?" So then some of our God brothers presented, "We have got 6 periodicals in 6 languages, one in English, one in Bengali, one in Hindi, one in Oriya, one is in Assami. And we have got one paper, Bengali, a daily." So this Madan Mohan Malabhya was astonished that you're issuing a paper daily, simply discussing about God. So my Guru Maharaj said, "Yes, why not?" Then he gave him a nice example. That in the Bhagavad Gita it is stated that ekam sena stito jagat. This material world is only 1/4 part manifestation of God's energy. Now, in this 1/4 part, there are innumerable universes and innumerable planets in each universe. And out of that vast material expanse, this earthly planet is very, very tiny. And in this planet, there are so many countries and so many cities, and each and every city, there are so many periodicals, so many newspapers, and each paper having so many editions daily. So in comparison to the whole universe, or the whole material creation, this planet is nothing, and this city is nothing. If it, this nothing insignificant city, can produce so much news, then what about the 3/4 energy of Vaikuntha? So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur continued, "We can give you a minute edition of the transcendental news of the spiritual world, a minute by minute newspaper with the different goings on in the spiritual world. Second by second, there's unlimited news. Wonderful news about what Krishna is doing. And that's what the people in the spiritual world, that's what they are doing. What's the news about Krishna? When Krishna goes to the forests to herd the cows in the morning, the residents in Vrindavan, all they think about is, what is Krishna? What is Krishna doing? What is Krishna doing?" And Mother Yasoda sends out messengers. Ananda Maharaj, "What is Krishna doing now? What is Krishna doing now?" Because they're so absorbed in their love for Krishna, and they're experiencing so much ecstasy hearing about Krishna and what he is doing. So minute by minute, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "We can produce a newspaper." And then he continues, "But unfortunately, there are no customers. There are no customers. The same thing, Shrotavya Dini. If you put magazines out about this material world, you will get many customers. But as soon as we put forward back to Godhead," Srila Prabhupada said, "we have no customers. The unfortunate thing is that no one is interested about Atma Tattva. So actually, we should be interested to understand. We should be interested to understand Atma Tattva if we actually want to be free from fearfulness." Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Oh, it's too late for questions or comments. So tomorrow we'll continue and do the What verses is it tomorrow? 8 to... Anyone know? 14. So this is the precursor questions or reply by Maharaj, by Sukadev. He didn't get to answer the question yet, except by saying we should focus on Mana Krishna. But he's busy glorifying the question itself, because it evokes Krishna Katha. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.